The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. Ride with Britt Reed in the thrilling adventure, Killer Carson. Britt Reed, young publisher of the Daily Sentinel, was in the city room talking to Gunnigan, the city editor.
Give that story 3 columns, Gunnigan, on the front page.
Okay, Chief, just you say.
Make sure you get a follow-up in the next edition.
I will, don't worry. You know, Chief, I can't understand you. What's that all about?
He's the soldier who just came in.
Well, with everybody flocking around him, I can't... Hey, Chief, it's Ed Lowry.
Lowry?
It sure is. Hey, Ed, come over here.
Well, I'm certainly glad to see him back.
You said it. We sure can use him around here.
Gunnigan, it sure is swell to see your homely mug again. Put it there, fella.
Well, today I'll overlook that crack. Before the week's out, I'll crack down on you.
Glad to see you back, Lowry.
Boss, oh, for a second, I didn't know you. You look more serious than you used to. Golly, it's really something to get back.
It's been a long time, almost 3 years.
Yeah, but it was a vacation away from this hectic city room, and Gunnigan's whip.
Oh, now, Ed, is that nice?
Now, just kidding. Where's Fatso this morning?
You mean Mike Axon?
Huh?
Oh, he's down at police headquarters. Mike sure been trying hard to fill your shoes, Ed.
Fill my shoes? Don't tell me Mike's actually been covering news assignments.
Yes, at times he has, but somebody else always has to write up his stuff. Axford's very smart in some things, but...
He wasn't cut out to be a reporter.
You said it.
As I recall, Mike was a cop when your dad took a liking to him, Chief, and put him on the Sentinel so as he could be sort of a bodyguard to you. Then you started giving him little things to do to get him out of your way.
Well, that's more or less true, Gunning.
Well, Axford's smart enough, but he's too gullible and good-natured to do feature stuff. He used to start out all right, but then he'd get off on the wrong track somehow.
Well, the big lug still does it that way, Ed. When can you start working?
Right away. I'll go home and put on some civvies. Oh, it's going to be good to get out of uniform. Do you have an assignment for me, Gunnigan?
Well, right now things are quiet, but you can get around, round up some general news for the sheet. City room, Daily Sentinel.
Hey, Gunnigan, this is Mike Axford. I'm down at cops headquarters.
Yeah, so what?
Wait till you hear the news.
I'm waiting. In fact, I'm paid to hear the news and then get it in the Sentinel. That is, if dopes like you...
Wait a minute, will you? How can I kill you when you're always beefing? Don't get this. Remember Killer Carson who went to the penitentiary a couple of months ago?
Sure, and he's to be electrocuted next week. Now get to the point. What about Killer Carson?
He broke out of prison, that's what.
What?
That's right. The word just came in.
Holy cats, how'd he break out? What time did he do it? Anyone help him? Are they on his trail?
Keep your shirt on, will you? He broke out. That's all we know so far. But that isn't all, either.
What do you mean, that isn't all?
Judge Greeley just called in. Said he had a phone call saying Killer Carson was going to get him.
What are they going to do about that?
Send a man to stand guard up at the judge's place. That's all the news I got now. If I get any more details, I'll call you later. So long.
Hey, wait. Call me, boy.
Yes, sir. What is it, Mr. Gunnigan?
Go to the morgue and get a pitch on all the dope on Killer Carson and hurry.
Yes, sir.
What's happened, Gunnigan?
Killer Carson's escaped.
Escaped?
Holy mackerel. I read about that guy. He's a bad one.
You said it, Ed, and that isn't all. Axford was talking from cops headquarters. He said Judge Greeley received a phone call.
A phone call? From whom?
Killer Carson was responsible for that call. He says he's out to kill Judge Greeley.
Meantime, in his hideout in the room of a friend in the underworld, Killer Carson paced back and forth restlessly as he puffed a cigarette.
For the love of Pete, Killer, why don't you sit down and take it easy? You make me nervous.
Forget it, Husky. After what I've been through, I'm still a little jumpy, I guess.
Yeah, sure. But like I said, take it easy. The cops won't find you here.
I'm not thinking of that, Husky.
Well, what are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about what I told Judge Greeley over the phone a while ago.
I told you you were crazy to pull that stunt, Killer. Yeah, better be thinking about disguising yourself and blowing this brig as soon as you can.
I'm staying right here till I do what I said I'd do.
You mean you really meant what you told him?
Right. I'm going to give that old guy the works.
Oh, now, Killer, come to your senses. The heat's on to the limit. You don't have a chance of getting to Greeley. You'd be picked up the minute you tried to do it.
Oh, yeah? Huh. Hey, you're not the first one that didn't give me credit for having brains.
I didn't say you haven't got brains. But it don't make sense for you to say you're going after that guy when that's what the cops will be watching for now.
I know what I'm doing.
But why did you tip him off with that warning on the phone? That don't make sense either. You could have just waited your chance and cut him off guard.
I want that old codger to worry and sweat. Like I did when I was thinking about dying in that hot seat. I bet he's worrying, too.
Okay, it's your funeral, Killer.
Now, our funeral, Husky. You have to help me.
Help you? How can
I? Early this evening, I want you to case the judge's place. I'll tell you where it is. You're not known in this burg. The cops have nothing on you.
It's going to be risky.
So what? Use your head and you won't make a slip-up. What I want to find out is who's there with the judge. And some way, you got to get the name of the copper who'll be their guard in Old Greeley. After that, Husky, I'll take over. And I'll show you how I'll go about giving that crusty old bench warmer the works.
It was dusk when a taxi cab came to a stop in front of Judge Greeley's home on Woodmont Street. The driver walked toward the lighted porch until a commanding voice brought him to a halt.
Hey, you! Stay right where you are!
There's somebody here calling for a cab.
What's that you say?
I said somebody here calling for a cab. Isn't this 618?
This is 618, all right, but nobody here phoned for a cab. Let me see your hack license, Mac.
Sure, it's in the cab.
I'll take a look at it. Yeah, it looks okay.
Thanks.
Who is he, McClure?
Hey, what gives here anyway? Who are you?
Name's Ed Laurie from the Daily Sentinel. Covering my first assignment since the war and hoping you're going to be news, fella.
Hey, look, I don't get this. I come to answer a call and you two guys start asking questions. Here's a call I got written on this paper. It was a woman who called.
Come again, Bub. No dames in this joint. Only Judge Greeley and his secretary. A man.
Let me see that paper.
Sure, here. Yeah.
Mrs. James Denville, 618 Wilder Street. Hey, the trouble with you is you don't know your streets. Wilder's the next one over.
Oh, no wonder there isn't anyone here looking for a cab.
Here's your slip of paper.
Yeah. You must be new at the job, fella.
Well, that's right, but I'm learning the city fast.
Turn the corner at the next block. That'll take you to Wilder.
Okay, thanks. Why are you here, officer? Somebody tried to rob the joint or something?
It's my business why I'm here. I'll go on over to Wilder and pick up your fare.
Sure. Well, thanks for the information.
So long.
It was about an hour later when the phone rang in Judge Greeley's study.
I'll get it, Judge.
Please do, George.
Judge Greeley's residence?
Who's talking?
Oh, I'm Judge Greeley's secretary, George Manley.
Oh, yes. This is the desk, Sergeant, of police headquarters. Is our man McClure still there? Is he around handy, I mean?
Well, Officer McClure is outside, but I'll call him to the phone if you want.
No, don't go to that trouble. Just tell him he can come back to headquarters. He isn't needed out there anymore.
But, Sergeant, don't you think someone should protect the judge until...
Don't worry. Carson was picked up in a town about 20 miles from here. We just got word.
Say, that's fine, fine. I'll tell McClure to come right down to headquarters, Sergeant.
A short time later, Laurie entered Inspector Evans' office at police headquarters.
May I have a word with you, Inspector?
Come on in, Laurie. Well... Have a chair. What's on your mind?
Thanks. Listen, Inspector, this is my first day back on the job.
I know. I'm glad to see you back again.
Thanks. You see, Gunnigan over at the Sentinel told me to try to get some unusual angles on this Carson break, so I decided to hang around Judge Greeley's place, just in case.
Good idea.
Well, of course, while I was out there, the other guys in the press room scooped me on the capture.
Capture? What are you talking about?
Inspector, McClure reported in a few minutes ago.
McClure? Isn't he the man whom you have at Greeley's?
Yeah, but he says Greeley's secretary told him a call came from here saying for him to report in that Killer Carson had been picked up.
What?
That's right, Inspector. Both the judge and his secretary said there was a call to that effect.
What about that, Sergeant Burke?
No such call went out of here, and Killer Carson has not been picked up.
Now, wait a minute, Sergeant. I know a call did... Did you just say Carson wasn't caught?
Of course he wasn't caught.
Sergeant, take some men. Hurry. Get out to Judge Greeley's place as fast as you can.
Yes, sir.
Hello. What about? No. We'll get on it right away.
What's the matter?
Plenty, Sergeant. We just got a call at the front desk from Greeley's secretary. Killer Carson went out there after McClure and Lowry left.
Great day.
Well, what happened? You mean he...
He did, Lowry. Judge Greeley is dead.
Oh,
After hearing the news of Judge Greeley's murder, Lowry returned to the Bailey Sackville building. He was talking to Britt Reed and Oxford in the city room.
Oh, you could have knocked me over with a feather when I heard about Carson getting to the judge.
You sure got it aching over. He should have checked back with headquarters on that call, so sad, sir.
Yes, that would have been the thing to do.
Now, we both took the secretary's word for it and went back to headquarters.
Sure, leaving the way wide open for Killer Carson to go right in. Lowry, I'm glad to see you back at work and all, like I told you today. But that's what you get for trying to show me up on the Carson case.
I did show you up, Mike. I got in the first call about Greeley's killing.
There you go. You haven't changed a bit. Brought over the fact that you...
Wait a minute, you two. Forget the argument. This is too serious a matter.
You're right, boss. Carson got the judge just like he told him he would. And he's still on the loose.
Reed, maybe you won't like it, but I asked Sires to send a man over to keep an eye on you.
On me? Why? I haven't received any threats from Carson or anybody else. I don't need any...
Look, I got to thinking. It was evidence that you gave the cops that really clinched the case against Carson. And you wrote some plenty hard editorials at the time, too.
So what? There's no reason...
Won't hurt to play safe, boss.
That's right. I'm sticking right at your side, Reed. And Sarge himself is waiting outside.
Oh, by the way, boss, I told the inspector about a husky-voiced cab driver who came to Greeley's place a little while before we left there. McClure and I noticed he drove a red and white cab. The cops are checking on him.
You hopped on to police headquarters. And if they get anything at all on that cab driver, phone me at home immediately.
Yeah, boss. Maybe they'll find out something. I'll get in touch with you as soon as they do.
All right, Larry, and I'll get going. Come on, Oxford. I'll go home.
Leaving the Sentinel building, accompanied by Mike Oxford, Britt Reed found Sergeant Burke waiting outside. The three men went to Britt's apartment, where Cato, his faithful Filipino valet, and the only person knowing his identity as the Green Hornet, was waiting. Later, after eating a light dinner, the group were in the living room discussing the Carson case.
Believe me, Mr. Reed, I've had my orders. I'm not leaving here under any circumstances tonight.
Sure, but the two of us here, Reed, will be safe enough.
I also hear, Mr. Oxford.
Oh, you, Cato. Sure, and I know you do what you could to protect Reed, but after all, you're not used to danger and fighting like we are, eh, Sad?
Yeah, that's right, Mike.
I depend a lot on Cato.
Yeah, but not when it comes to the point where a killer's on the hunt for you. To my way of thinking...
Mr. Reed's apartment?
Cato, this is Lowry. Let me talk to the boss, will you?
Okay, yes, Mr. Lowry.
Hello, Lowry. What's new?
That guy with the husky voice was a phony, boss. He didn't get any call from the woman whose name and address he gave us.
I see.
The cops even tracked down the cab he used, and they picked up the regular driver for questioning.
Well, that was quick work. And maybe he can give...
No soap. He claimed he never saw the guy at all. Said his cab was stolen and that he reported it at the time. They checked and found that was true.
Uh-huh. Well, what else?
That's about all. Oh, they found the cab abandoned a short time ago. They let the guy go since he couldn't tell them anything.
I see. They checked his identity, of course.
Yeah, his name is Foxy Smith. Lives in a dumpy room up over the Ace High Pool Room on 4th Street. He convinced the cops he's okay.
Well, too bad he didn't know anything. Well, keep me posted, Lowry.
I will, boss. Good night.
Good night.
Anything new, Reed?
Oh, not particularly. That taxi driver was a phony, so Lowry said.
Sure, he must have been in with Carson.
There's no doubt of that. McClure sure took a lesson at headquarters for not realizing he was casing the place. He'll get probation for it.
Oh, well, we all make mistakes. I'm tired. I think I'll turn in.
Sure, why don't you, Reed? And believe me, after you go into that bedroom, I'm locking the door after you, just to be sure.
Do you have to go that far, Oxford?
Well, now, why should you object, Reed? It's for your own safety, isn't it?
Okay, have it your way. Cato, I'm sure you don't want to turn in yet. Well, why don't you take in a movie?
A movie, Mr. Brick?
There might be something down at the corner that would interest you.
Oh, that's a good idea, Mr. Brick. I go now, perhaps.
Sure, run along, Cato. I'd go with you, only I gotta stay here and watch out for Reed with Sarge.
Well, I'll see you in the morning, then, if not before. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Reed. I'll come to lock the door in a minute.
Okay. Do it right now, if you like.
Sure, I will.
I'll put the key on the outside.
Didn't take Oxford long. Now to take out the Black Beauty. Cato will be waiting for me on the corner.
Stepping through a secret panel in the rear of a closet in the bedroom, Britt Reed went along a narrow passageway built within the wall of the apartment itself. This passage led to an adjoining building, which fronted on a dark side street. Though supposedly abandoned, this building served as the hiding place for the sleek, super-powered Black Beauty, streamlined car of the Green Hornet. Britt Reed pressed a button. The great car roared into life. A section of the wall in front raised automatically, then closed as the gleaming Black Beauty sped into the darkness. After picking up Cato in the shadows on the corner, Rick Reed headed the Black Beauty downtown.
Cato, I'm glad you caught the hint to meet me on the corner.
Well, I know you not tell me to go to movies when situation is so serious, Mr. Britt. And when you designate movie at corner, I catch hint.
I hope Axford doesn't try to get into my bedroom while we're out.
Well, he have key. He able to go into room?
Well, before I left, I bolted the door on the inside. We won't worry about that now.
Well, where we go now, Mr. Britt?
To see a chap named Foxy Smith. And the chance that the Green Hornet can scare some information from him, since he gave none to the police. Let's hope he does know something. I'd better step on it.
Within a short time, Britt and Cato stopped the Black Beauty in the dark alley behind the pool room.
There's a light upstairs, Cato. I'll go up the back way. You keep your eyes open.
Yes, sir.
First.
Put them up. You're covered.
What? The Green Hornet.
Killer Carson. So you murdered Smith to keep him quiet, eh?
See for yourself. He won't do any talking now.
But you will, Killer. I'm going to
drop that gun on it.
Good work, Husky. You came back just in time. Keep your rod at his back.
Drop your gun, I said.
All right. You win.
Hornet, I've been hearing a lot about you. I'm going to find out now just who you really are. Watch him close, Husky, while I grab off his mask.
Careful, Julia.
Let him have it if he tries anything. Here goes. Holy cats. You.
Satisfied?
Who is the killer? Do you know?
I'll say I do. He's one other guy I have it in for. This saves me a lot of trouble. Husky, between us, we got the judge. Then we got Smith. Now we're going to settle with this guy.
Who is he? Let me get a look at him.
Now, wait. Stay behind him with that rod. He's tricky. I'll tell you who he is in a minute. But first, I'm going to plug him. Right now. Oh!
Hey, who shot Killer?
Who shot you up?
Killer just about to shoot you, so there's nothing else for me to do.
I know. Glad you came along, Cato. If you hadn't, he would have killed me, and the secret of the Green Hornet would have been disclosed.
Other man not know you, Britt Reed?
No, he didn't see my face nor hear my name. Killer Carson was a condemned murderer, even before he and his other man killed the judge and the taxi driver. But that won't stop him from telling the police who I am.
Wait. Killer Carson not able to tell anyone anything.
Dorothy, was his life a man? Was it the only thing he could do? Cato, there's a $10,000 reward for his capture, dead or alive. Too bad you can't collect it.
By the way, is your gun registered, Tato?
No, sir. This old one I take from Crook a long time ago.
Good. Then trade guns with this man, Husky.
Oh, yes, sir. Here, your gas gun. Men coming up from pool room.
Yes, I noticed the garage at the back. We'll go out the back window and over the roof. Come on, hurry. Escaping by means of a back window, Britt and Cato drove the black beauty to the nearest phone booth, from which Cato made a call to police headquarters. Soon he returned to the black beauty.
I'd tip off police if they find Killer Carson up over pool room.
All those men from the pool room can't cover up for Husky and the killer.
Well, you have plenty narrow escape, Mr. Britt. I'm still shaking to think of it.
I was nervous myself, Cato, and I realized Carson recognized me as Britt Reed and intended to kill me right away.
Cato, what you think of?
I forgot about Lowry. He'll try to phone me at the apartment. If Axford breaks into the bedroom and finds the gun...
That'd be good. We hurry.
Yes, come on, step on it. Almost half hour later, Britt drove the Black Beauty into the secret hiding place. Cato, you run around, go in the front way. Better wait, though, till I've gone in.
Yes, sir.
Got to hurry. Racing up the secret stairs, Britt at the same time removed as much clothing as he could. As he reached the secret panel, he heard shouting and pounding.
That's what's there now.
To leave these closed,
this closet.
Come on, guys. Help me bust this door in. Something's wrong in there.
Ashford, wait. I'm coming to the door.
Something snakes me. I was just about to bust the door down. Did you take a sleeping pill or something?
Oh, could have been that, Ashford. What's the matter?
Oh, there's Cato coming home. Reed, Lowry just phoned. The cops got a tip-off. They went to that taxi driver's place, and what do you think they found?
What?
The driver's been murdered, and Killer Carson was found. He'd been bumped off, too. They got the guy with the husky voice. He'll go up for them two killings as well as for the judges.
Really?
No kidding, Mr. Reed. I checked back with headquarters. The guy called Husky claims the Hornet was to blame for Carson's death. But one way or the other, Husky was slated for the chair anyway, and so was Carson. Carson was wanted dead or alive.
That's certainly some news.
Well, now you're able to sleep without worry, perhaps.
Hey, wait a minute, Sarge. Did you say Husky claimed the Hornet got killed Carson?
Yeah.
But wasn't there a reward for Carson, dead or alive?
Sure. $10,000.
Suffering snakes. Then by rights, the Hornet should get that door. And him with the reward in his head for $25,000. Now, if he's caught, there's $25,000 to be paid out. Then $10,000 to the Hornet for catching Carson. That makes $35,000. No, no. You take away the $10,000 from the Hornet, $25,000. And then there's $15,000.
Oh, so. I'm too confused to know what I'm saying. That's how you are.